Father, I pray for wisdom and clarity in these moments we have in this Spirit-led service. Jesus, you're central, and we humble ourselves before you as the Son of God. We're not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to salvation. We have a belief system, and our beliefs are built on the integrity of your word. It's been proven over centuries. Men and women who have embraced your truth have made history, have shaped culture, have changed the world, and have been prevented from going to hell and have advanced and experienced eternity with you. I invite the presence and power of your Holy Spirit into this room. For these moments, I pray spiritual nutrition would be downloaded into our hearts, spiritual things taught in spiritual words. I pray it's applicable. I pray it makes sense. I pray that there's a logic to it. But more importantly, I pray you light it on fire. I thank you for wisdom and clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 16, we're looking at verse 7 and we're looking at verse 13. We're going to go back to John's Gospel chapter 14. And I want to talk about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you that as you're turning, that God is a spirit. John 4:24, he said, God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I want to bring a distinction today about following the Spirit as opposed to other leadings. There are flesh impulses. We have five physical senses in our bodies. There is reasoning power in our soul. In fact, the Bible defines us as a three-part being. In Hebrews 4:12 and then in 1 Thessalonians, it says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it makes distinction or separates between soul and spirit and both joint and marrow, and judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And then the Bible says that he'll sanctify us wholly, and may our whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord. So we are spirits, we have souls, we live in bodies. That's why in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus asked Jesus, said, man, we can tell you're a teacher sent from God because of the miracles. And Jesus cut to the chase and said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus basically said, say what? How can I enter into my mother's womb and be born a second time? He said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You have a physical birthday. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's why we talk about being born again. That's not just evangelical theology. That is something out of the lips of Jesus that tells us something that's referenced in the book of Genesis. God, he said, let us make man in our image. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made us, male and female, to be spirit, soul, and body. Unfortunately, when we were vibrantly connected to God in the garden, temptation and sin entered in, and man rebelled and failed God, and a separation occurred. And what's even worse is in dying, you shall surely die. The light snuffed out in humanity. Our spirits were dead. The psalmist said, I was born in iniquity. Sin has entered into the world. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the result of that is death. Yet Jesus came to bring us into an advantage. He came to seek and save that which is lost. The blood of Jesus is the only substance that qualifies to set captives free. And that when you receive him, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now we look here at John's Gospel chapter 16. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And none of the disciples were buying into this. They were completely upset. They thought Jesus was going to build up his kingdom and push back the adversaries of Israel and bring a kingdom on earth. And Jesus came and said, no, I have to die on the cross. I have to die. I have to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to lay down my life. That was his ambition and his destiny, was to obey the Father. And he had to die for our sins. He was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. And he said, it's to your advantage that I'm going to go die. It's the last thing people want to hear when they see this wonderful moment with Jesus on earth. And then he says, I'm about ready to leave. But he says, but if I do not go away, which means resurrection, ascension and resurrection, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, these Hebrew people understood references out of the book of Joel, where he said, in the end times, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. There'll be visions. There'll be signs and wonders. There'll be such an empowerment, such a vibrancy. The grace of God that saves also sustains. And that the enablement of God would rush in and he would put out a powerful strengthening of the Holy Spirit. And then he said this. He said, when he, in verse 13, the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God can never lead us into error or falsehood. He always reliably leads us into all truth. For He will speak not on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will disclose to you what is to come. Quickly go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In light of this, I want to show you about we are called to be born of the Spirit, to be made alive spiritually. And then in being made alive spiritually, we get activated to know the voice of the Master. He said, "You'll know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow." God knows how to activate something on the inside of us, something called the human spirit, something that is He has designed according to Proverbs 20, verse 27, that the spirit of a man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. In other words, God the Spirit, who is a spirit, John 4, 24, and the Holy Spirit chooses to speak to humanity from His Holy Spirit to our human spirit. Not in psychic stuff, not in reasoning, not in the five physical sense realm, but spirit to spirit. This is important because the Word of God can bring these distinctions, spirit, soul, body. The teaching throughout the Old and New Testament is clear that there's an outer man and an inner man. And it's also clear that there's a distinction between spirit and soul. The soul is a reasoning, our mind, our emotions, our will. The spirit is that part of us that God has chosen to illuminate all the rest of us. I love flashlights. I've got big, long flashlights. I've got one that's like the police use, that when they shine it, it's so bright that an assailant is blinded for several minutes so you can tie them up and all kinds of stuff. And I love flashlights. I've got them on my keychain, little ones. I've got one that I clip on my hat when I go fishing so I can tie my line. I'm all about light. I love light on the subject. You know, you've heard the old saying, let's get a little light on the subject. The entrance of His Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Even as I'm preaching this to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 comes to mind. This is what I'm captivated in. Paul talked about his preaching was not in words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Speaking a wisdom of the kingdom of God. And then it says in verse 12, here's where it comes from. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Look at this. Jesus said it out of His own lips. It's to your advantage that I go. I'm sending you a helper, guide you into all the truth. There's a guidance system that's been activated in you. And those of us who have grown dull, those of us who have leaned on our own understanding, those of us who have become impulsive and driven by flesh or driven by other issues, we can be hearkened back to the shepherd and guardian of our soul and resensitized to know the Master's voice and to become committed to maturing in this area and to be Spirit-led. The world is in a deficit. It needs men and women who know how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not goofy, it's not carnival, it's not circus, it's not superficial. It's actually quite, quite important that we learn how to be citizens of heaven and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, sensitive to His voice. And He said, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. There's a spirit of this age. We used to follow the course of this age. And something got a hold of us and showed us we were sinful, we were lost, and we were on our way to hell. And God intervened and rescued us from the pit. But yet He's not calling us to rote religious tradition, to get on the gerbil wheel of religious routine. He's redeemed us from a futile way of life, and He's activated us to be ambassadors for Christ, to be carriers of the presence of God, to be people who stand in the gap, who make a difference, who bring comfort to the hurting, who bring light on the subject to the people that are confused, to bring good news to the afflicted, to bring healing to the sick, to bring change to nations, to hold back injustice in the lands and address need and famine and all kinds of the issues that are present in our world. And we have to understand that the Helper has come, that it's impossible for us to fulfill even a thimbleful of what God's called us to if we didn't have this Helper. If we didn't have this Helper, we are disadvantaged. But He said, it is an advantage that I go because I'm sending a Helper. I'm sending someone who's going to guide you into all the truth. He said, not the spirit the world has received, but the Spirit of God who comes from God. This very Spirit who comes from God, who was hovering over the waters at creation. The Spirit that came upon Jesus when he was baptized. The Spirit that came upon him like a dove. The Spirit that came upon the early church like a rushing mighty wind. The Spirit that got upon Peter where he was denying Jesus before. And then when he was filled with this wonderful Holy Spirit, 5,000 people were compelled to come to Christ in a 4 or 5 minute message that he preached. He says, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God. Why? Look, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Knowledge is power. And God wants you to be a knower. He wants you to know him. I met Patsy at church. I saw her actually before she saw me. I was standing behind her during praise and worship. And I noticed her. And I got to know her as a friend. And now we've known 30 plus years of marriage. And the degrees of a glance to a marriage union has been an amazing transition. And the same thing for me with Jesus. I heard about him from afar. As a child, I was tender toward him. When I became a young teenager, I was secularized and I got away from him. Didn't understand where his place was in my life. I ran into a wide awake Christian who had been activated by the Holy Spirit, who when he spoke to me, the words I could not refute. The impact was deep and penetrating. It wasn't because of the volume of his voice or the eloquence. It was just the simple testimony that he had overcome and he had experienced life change. And he told me and offered me there's hope in Christ. I could know Jesus and he could come into my heart. And to know him is to love him. But then he gives us this knowing where he said, and this is eternal life, that they might know him, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. To know him, to be in knowledge of him, to be familiarized with him, to come to know about God's ways, and to understand the fear of the Lord and to understand eternity and our place of purpose on earth as the church, where we're called to worship him, we're called to evangelize, we're called to encourage one another. Iron sharpens iron. We're called to roll up our sleeves and impact nations. We're called to push back injustice. We're called to alleviate suffering. We're called to bring healing. We're called to bring food to the people that are starving, clothing to the people that are naked, hope to the people that have no hope. We're anointed, man. And anointed means we have received power from the Holy Spirit. And we're not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we might know the things freely given to us by God. I hope this moment on Sunday helps you. I hope it motivates you to crack open your Bible or get an iPod and get it downloaded on there, get an MP3 player, get something to hear the word, to listen to the word, discipline yourself, to get a hold of that. It's a lamp to your feet. His word is spirit and it's life. I ordered a salad the other day because I needed some greens and I had some salmon on it because I needed some protein. The other day I ate some grapefruit because my body was telling me that I needed some vitamin C. And the other day I drank some water because I was thirsty. Your spirit needs to feed on spiritual food. And as realistically as our bodies live on the nutrition of bread and of the elements of all the abundance of blessing that we have that God made for us, he's given us his word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth. Listen, I've noticed that when you exercise your body, it gets toned and gets stronger. I notice if you study and read, it'll expand your knowledge base. And I noticed if you spend time in prayer and in fellowship with God, your inner man that you don't see but is real will grow. And as you fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, with other believers that are like-minded, that are forwardly inclined, that are moving on with God's purposes, it puts you in an advantage. It activates you. It makes you strengthened. I've been around bodybuilders that it was obvious they were doing workouts with curls and push-ups and bench pressings, and you could see the results. I've also been around some saintly people who have spent quality time with God, who have increased their spiritual perceptions and aptitudes to make them far more beneficial than they ever would be had they not spent time exposed to God. And God said in the end times, knowledge would increase, and he's moving in a phenomenal way on his church. I mean, he's moving powerfully. He's moving powerfully through the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Baptists and all the wonderful body of Christ, all the plaids and the polka dots and all the, I mean, the spirit-filled movement that God's done since I've become a Christian. It's been enriching to the nations, and it's been phenomenal what God's doing. But unless we experience it hardcore personally, what's the benefit of it? So we've got to get here and see there is an advantage that Jesus has died for me, that it qualifies me. His death gives me the opportunity for eternal life. And then he goes and dispatches the great, wonderful Holy Spirit who comes and pours out on all flesh. And he is, in fact, the enablement and the empowerment that gets upon us and gets in us and brings knowledge to us. And then he said he would guide us into all the truth. Listen, John 14, 23 says, if a man come to me and keep my word, my Father will love him and he will come into him and we will make our abode with him. One of my favorite parts of being a Christian is that Jesus lives in me. The imagery that they used when I was young was, Jesus wants to come live in your heart. I heard that when I was 5 at the Baptist Church on Galveston Street in San Diego, when the team there invited the unsaved street kids to come in and the kids off the neighborhood to come in, be in a church play. And they put a sheet on me, even with a flat top, a little sash, and I said, cast out your nets and I'll make you fishers of men. That was my line. They gave me the part of Jesus, you know, which got my parents to come to church. It gave me the headliner, you know. And I had to keep telling John and Peter to shut up because they were making noise while I was trying to give my line. Some things never change. But anyway, then when I was 16, the same thing. This guy said, Jesus came into my heart and changed my life. And I'm telling you, when Jesus comes in, he makes his abode in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 2 Corinthians 6:16, you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them and I will be their God. They will be my people. The redeemed of the Lord are not a bunch of religious people with a bunch of religious affectations going through religious routine. No, quite the contrary. We're redeemed. We're bought with a price. We're delivered from a futile way of life with an end result in hell forever apart from God. And we were once not a people. Now we've been made the people of God. And not only that, it's to our advantage that Jesus has gone because he sent his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is looking to pour out on all flesh, not just some, to strengthen, to empower, to activate, including you guys that feel like you're just a little bit out of step with things. Listen, you can start to seek after God and he'll get you refined. He knows how to lead and guide. Psalm 23, 2, he said, he makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. I want to talk to you about God's leadership. He leads me. Psalm 25, 9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Psalm 48, 14 says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. He'll give you detail. He'll show you as you develop a sensitive spirit. He'll show you things to do. He'll show you things to come. Do you know how I know this? Because the Bible tells me so. In fact, guidance by definition in the dictionary is to assist a person to travel through or reach a destination in an unfamiliar area. We've got a GPS thing in our car. After the first year, I finally figured out how to use it. And it's amazing. Somebody will give me the address, I'll punch it in, and it could be all the way across several states, and it will take me, this lady's voice will tell me to turn here, turn there, turn here, turn there, turn here, turn there, and I'll drive right up into the driveway. And it's pretty cool. And it's new equipment. They didn't have this when I was a kid. And for the people that are, the other day somebody was giving me, asked me to go down and do an interview on the TV. And I said, well, now that the highway's closed, how do I get there? And this lady said, I'm directionally challenged. It reminded me of my daughter, Chelsea. I thought it was so funny. All we like sheep are directionally challenged. All we like sheep have gone astray. In fact, I've had to pull over on the road, turn off my car, because it won't let you program while you're driving. That's good. So I'll pull over, and I'll just have to get that thing going. And when I push that button, it says, loading. And then it says, go. And it's just so nice. And I see a parallel in this. His word is a lamp to our feet. It's a GPS. The Holy Spirit knows how to lead us and guide us. The voice will, if you make a wrong turn, it'll say, recalculating. Recalculating. How many of you have heard that in your spirit where God's going, for the umpteenth time, recalculating? But he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he'll guide us to the end in unfamiliar territory. We've never passed this way before. I've never been in this range of experience before. I've never passed this way before. But the Holy Spirit who goes on out ahead, who searches the heart, who knows what the mind of the Spirit is. God, who infinitely knows everything, who's not confined to time, who can listen to 7 billion people at once. Whew. Come on. What's up with that? I love Him. Will guide us. Psalm 73:24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. There's a voice that will say, this is the way, walk in it. Listen, God knows how to guide us by His Holy Spirit. He, in fact, is a guide to the blind. Those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God. Why? So that we might know. We might be in the know. God has given us privy inside information. Holy Spirit, He said He would, will show us things to come. We are to be a prophetic people as individuals, prophetic in our parenting. We're to train our children to be sensitive to the nuances and leadership of the Holy Spirit. We can do it. As a church, we can do it. I'm convinced it's important, obviously, for me as a leader, that with the responsibilities in my life, I have got to have the Holy Spirit. And I figured this out. I do have Him. And I don't want to grieve Him. I don't want to be governed or led by offenses or opportunities or the other man's grass is greener or trends. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I know it's not spooky, mystical, or any such thing. It's actually quite spiritually practical. It's supernaturally normal to walk in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let's look at it inverted. The sons of God are being led by the Spirit of God. Or another way you could look at it is, in our sonship, God downloads a GPS in us. You marry that with John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice. You are led by the Spirit. You have an inward witness. Your conscience, when you get saved, comes alive. And it becomes, if you're walking with God, a reliable indicator about integrity. It'll check your spirit. And you'll have a sense in decision-making what way you're supposed to go with a thing. It's amazing. Opportunities will come. They'll all look good. God's Holy Spirit will say, listen, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And I'm telling you, this is important in this hour. There are many voices that are telling us how to do this and that and what to think and all these kinds of things. And we've got to understand and develop an awareness of the still small voice, the master's voice. If Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow, then we can believe it. Because it's Jesus, man. He never lied. And if He said the Holy Spirit would guide us into all the truth and it's impossible for Him to lie, we're good to go. We're good to go. Then we can develop strengthening in our spirit, strengthened with might and power by His Spirit in the inner man. No wonder the enticements of the world are trying to get all of us to be carnal, bitter, distracted, just full of amusements and full of trivialities to get us off base and prevent us from being the vibrant examples of what God's called us to be in the first place. There are hills to climb. There are mountains to conquer. There are souls to win. There are miracles to see happen. There are dreams God has for your attached to your life. And since you are a little bitty baby, even in your mother's womb, that He's prepared for you. It's a mystery to me. It has something to do with the whole predetermined foreknowledge of God and how this again makes me fall in love with Him because He's just so amazing and smart. I just love fellowshipping with God because He's just amazing. I even say to Him all the time, God, you know, you can hear people in the underground church in China in a different time zone and you can hear me and it's like, it's just me. And it's like, there's no reference point for that. Way to go. And then Jesus, you're so awesome. I'm loving Jesus more now than I ever have in my whole life. Because I read Isaiah 9:6, where unto us a son, child is born, unto us a son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. I mean, that'll make you explode. Just defining how beautiful He is. And one day we're going to live with Him forever. One day we're going to peel back, we're going to lay aside this earthly tent And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. So we might be there for a few minutes, and it'll be like we've been there 1,000 years. We've already been high-fiving Abraham and celebrating with Moses and saying hi to Aunt Minnie and visiting her dad or whatever, and you know, and Abraham Lincoln or whatever. And Elvis is over there saying, "Don't worship me here." You know, stuff like that, you know? Come on. Praise the Lord Jesus forever. Praise the Lord. We're to be a Spirit-filled people. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. I recognize, and my theology is that the gifts of the Spirit have not ceased. They're a vibrant, present availability today. And because I'm a believer in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to open up, seek after that, and study the Scriptures, and ask Him. He said, "Ask, and you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be saturated with the Holy Spirit, to be Spirit-filled is a wonderful, wonderful thing. To be a Spirit-filled believer, where you're filled with the Spirit. He said in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. In Jude 20, he said, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." You've heard me talk about my push-ups, and it's just a little thing for me that makes me realize that I came out of sort of weakness and got a little bit toned. And it inspires me on all other areas of my life, because bodily exercise is profitable. But it shows me there's spiritual exercise. Godliness is profitable in all things, in this life and the life to come. And godliness is available because the Holy Spirit is our enablement. The grace of God is our sufficiency. He's invited every one of us into it. And you may feel like, "I'm not that good a believer." You know what? Just get over that. He's a good redeemer. And we're all in various stages of the journey. And as you turn to Him and you press into Him, He might just want to activate you to the extraordinary. And you'll give Him all the praise. You won't even get proud, because you already know you're not all that. But so your testimony will be awesome. Because He exalts the humble. He gives grace to the humble. He is opposed to the proud. So if you're like, "I know, I am spirit. I'm a pastor. I'm awesome. I'm awesome." Well, you're going to have to go back to the woodshed a little bit, because you're not all that. But like Gideon, it's like, "I'm the least in my father's house." Moses goes, "I don't know how to speak." Isaiah said, "Depart from me. I'm a man of unclean lips." Peter said, "I'm a sinful man." All these, it seems like God uses, okay, I could use that. So listen, let's just get over it, man. He's all that. He's amazing. And He's looking to use you by the power of His Holy Spirit. So man, reach out and receive the guidance, the quality presence of the Holy Spirit into your household, into your car, when you get out in the parking lot, every step you take. Just realize, man, God, the Holy Spirit, has been made available to me. He's guiding me into all the truth. He'll show me what to do with my job, with the economy, with my house sale, with whatever, all this stuff. He orders my steps. He's faithful. I'll trust Him. He walked the believers through the 1929 troubles and the Dust Bowl. In fact, things were birthed during the Dust Bowl, if you study church history, of phenomenal levels. The church rose up during World War II, phenomenal levels. Churches were built during the last recessions and paid for with cash through phenomenal levels. Harvest came when everybody was falling apart with the whole drug culture. I saw it. I was there. You can't take it away from me. The enemy means for harm. God turns around for good. Our church got hit by a flood, and God showed us how to do flood relief. And 8,000 volunteers poured through our church. The school system gave us buses to use. I mean, God just opened a door no man can shut. We just have to be led by the Spirit to know which doors to go through. Walk after the Spirit. So then you start thinking, okay, what's the deal here? Okay, say that to me again, Pastor Jeff. Okay, John 4:24, God's a Spirit. Those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. Romans 8:14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He said, it's good that I go. It's to your advantage, because I'm sending you a helper. Now, we are spirits. We have souls. We live in bodies. Look at this verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. It says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Look at this. And piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Did it just say that? Did it just say there's a division between soul and spirit? Yeah, there is. and joints and marrow, that would talk about body, and it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is the divider that will prevent us from carnal reasoning. Carnal reasoning is leaning on human rationale. Being spirit-led is relying on the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just access this to you because it's the inner man. It's invisible. So what I'm preaching to you is a thing you have to take by faith. We have an outer man. We have an inner man. Though the outer man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed day by day. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So you understand there's a separation. This is our earthly tent, and it has a shelf life. We live in it for a while, and then we go to be with the Lord. And 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. I'm getting into this. I'm getting out there, and you're going, where did he just go? I'm going out in the wild blue yonder. I'm getting into this because it's so fascinating to me. But right now, in the here and now, we can be led. We can be led by the Spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Here's what he prayed at the end of his message to the Thessalonians. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus. When you get saved, you get made alive spiritually. But your soul has something of a job to get done, which is to be renewed. You need to be, your mind needs to be renewed. It's a lifetime process. And we never get to let up on it until we go to be with the Lord. And that we have something to do with our bodies too. The Bible says to keep our bodies under. I buffet my body and make it my slave. The Bible says, Paul said, where our body is a living sacrifice. We're to consider our members as dead to sin and that we're to walk as slaves to righteousness. And actually, we're to keep the body under, not be dominated by our flesh. It's easy. It can happen. You can see it with the compulsive, all the compulsions of the world, compulsive eating or blurting out murmurings. You get a little tired, get weird. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So we're to not walk in the flesh, we're to walk in the spirit. Well, as long as we live in these bodies, we've got some inherent problems. You guys notice? I mean, we haven't arrived. That's why discipleship is a full-time, it's a full-time thing. And God's called us to just continue to walk. But the Bible says in Galatians 5 that if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So I'm fascinated by this stuff. As I'm sharing this with you, I hope it rouses you and brings some distinction. You start to understand, I am a spirit. God's a spirit. My spirit is in touch with His Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I have access to Him, that I have favor with Him. I've never seen it. I've never seen the Lamb's Book of Life to see if my name was on it. I've never seen the Lord Jesus where He's walked in with His nail-scarred hands to talk to me for 30 minutes. But I know from the Word of God, and there's a knowing by the Holy Spirit that when I repented and asked Jesus to come into my heart and trusted Christ for salvation, that He brought me into His family and made me a brand new person on the inside. There's a witness, and I see people's heads nodding right now. Because there's something on the inside of you that's ringing true. That same thing that's ringing true about the sense you have about the security in God that you got from His Word and you have from the spiritual experience, this is the guidance system, the GPS that God's downloaded in you, where Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." You can be led by the Spirit. You can be led by the Spirit. And you can develop sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit. You know, I talk about my push-ups and I blab about that. But you know, I've noticed it's affected my physical body. And the Bible says that bodily exercise profits little. And I've noticed it's given me a little muscle tone and it's made me feel a little bit better. And it's just a really good thing. Godliness is profitable in this life and the life to come. So the implication is the outer man benefits from exercise and from taking care of itself. So does our inner man benefit, even right now. A big, gigantic, hot loaf of fresh, living bread is being unloaded to you through this preaching. There's an anointing here from God to bring revelation, to bring encouragement, to bring hope. You're disciplining yourself to go full on. You don't have a TV remote in your hand. You're soaking right now in the substance and the spiritual materiality of God's Word. In fact, I'm speaking spiritual things in spiritual words. I'm speaking to your spirit. I'm preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's going into your heart and it's stirring something on the inside of you. It's not just excitable. It's not just, you know, stem whining and we're going to run around the building. There's something in the inside of you that's stirring. It's a witness in your spirit. It's like, yes, And you're saying, man, this is accessible because Jesus does it by the new birth. It's a gift. He gives us the gift of His Holy Spirit. It's an advantage, and He's a helper. In fact, it's not an it. He's the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God that's given to you so you might know the things freely given to you by God. So you get the knowing, you know, and you start to understand Him. You start to know. I love Jesus now more than I ever have. I'm fascinated by Jesus. During Christmas, I was reading Isaiah 9:6 over and over again during the Christmas production, and it finally hit me after about day four. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. This is my Jesus. And I was just thinking, He's the Son of God. He's born of a virgin, lived, born in a manger. He served. He died. He rose again. He's alive right now, man. He's an author and finisher of my faith. He was a carpenter here. He's a carpenter there. He's building mansions. He said, and I'm coming back. And He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's had a long time to develop all that stuff there. It's going to be, heaven's going to be heaven. Heaven's going to be, that's why I want to get as many people to heaven as I can. Make vacant spaces in the lake of fire. Fill up heaven. Preach the gospel in our generation. I want to be filled with an imprint of how great it is to know Jesus. How contagious it is, how there's a spiritual dynamism that comes from believers understanding who they are and what they have and who God is in them, and this amazing operation of the Holy Spirit, and that you're a spirit being. You need to just walk around and say, you know what, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. I'm a continual learner. I love to read. I'm always reading 4 or 5 books at a time, and I love to learn and develop my brain. I learned from my grandmother. She did words games and read a dictionary all the way into her 80s, and she stayed fresh. She warded off mental flabbiness. I looked at Jack LaLanne the other day on TV, juicing and doing push-ups. I think, come on, man. Guy's like, what's he, you know, he says he can't die. It would be bad for business. That's what he said. It's just hilarious. He's got whatever motivation he could get. But I see people developing and cultivating the hidden person of the heart, and I see them becoming amazing assets in the earth, growing spiritually. Come on, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him and to learn to walk in the Spirit, that God has given us His Spirit for knowledge, for guidance. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Listen, man, He's not left us powerless. He's given us the anointing, man. What's the anointing? Enablement, empowerment. Say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let that soak up in your heart. God is looking for people that He can lead and He can guide. I want to stir you up to the awareness that the Holy Spirit permeates this place right now. That He's available to you while you're driving your car. I was driving Taylor to family's house to take him to a hayride. He's maybe 8 years old, sitting in the back. Patsy was next to me. Very conscientious parents. Turbo mom and dad, very diligent, very watchful, consistent with our parenting. On that level, there's huge comfort. I knew that mom would watch my kids like she watches her own. That was assuring. There's still something unsettling in my heart while I was driving him to this hayride. The closer I got to the house, the more I had a sense something just wasn't right. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's not agitation, it's not worry, it doesn't emanate from your flesh, it's just something that's hard to describe, but is in fact biblically called that still small voice, that voice of the Spirit, that your human spirit, the Holy Spirit bearing witness in your spirit. You can develop this. So we're driving down the road, and I'm adjusting my mirror, and I'm getting ready to do this dad overriding thing. I'm thinking, man, I know, the closer I get, the more I realize he shouldn't be going to this thing. But I don't want to be a party pooper. I don't want to be an overreactive dad, an over-controlling dad. I don't want to be overbearing. My dad would just get, ride your bike and see after sundown, you know. We got into some shenanigans, you know. But with Taylor, I looked in the mirror and I just, as we turned around the corner, he said, I don't think I'm supposed to do this. And I went, oh man, that's the Lord, because I just really, just getting ready to tell you, I didn't think that was right. He goes, I hate this stuff. Because he was made to feel like, you know, God's a party pooper and he missed out on his blessing. So I mean, Patsy made up for it by taking him to the toy store and he got a toy, a really good toy. The law of compensation, I suppose. And you know what? Nothing bad happened to any of the kids on the hayride because we covered it in prayer. It just wasn't for him to be there at that moment. But then he went to hayrides before that. He went to hayrides after that. Everything's cool. So it's not like all of a sudden I have a hayride phobia and I never want, all my other kids can go but him. Because it's like King David. He would inquire of the Lord and then he'd go do this thing against, for example, battle. And then he'd go and inquire of the Lord again and God would say, no, now go around the other side and do it this other way. And so it's a dependency. God's given us, he's a spirit. When we get saved, we get made alive spiritually. He makes us available to him. We now have access to God. We were once alienated and separated. Now we're brought near. This is why I'm preaching this. You become hugely beneficial to the world you live in. Because now you're led by the Spirit. Or can be. That's why we got to watch out about not being led by offenses. Or not being led by opportunity. Or not being led by rebellion. Or not being led by a need. But being led by... Jesus was praying. And these people wanted him to come back to this village that he had just preached at the day before. And Peter finds him and says, Lord, the people are looking for you. He says, let's go to the next town because that's why I came forth. Spiritual sensitivity was in Jesus. He had to go seek God to find it. He got it. Paul the Apostle was trying to go to Asia and the Holy Spirit said, no, go to Macedonia. You go to Asia later. I got a plan for Asia. In 2 years, he spoke at a church, at a school, and the whole place heard the gospel. But God wanted him to meet with Lydia, who was the first European convert, and it was a milestone of Western civilization. So I'm telling you, God has activated us. How many of you have given your life to Jesus? Let me see your hands. You know you're saved. The Spirit's bearing witness with your spirit. Wave to me. Come on. Help me. Humor me. God didn't call you into religious routine to be a Sunday morninger and then just kind of blow it off the rest of the week. This Sunday morning is to fill your tank, top it off, get your oil changed, get your windshield clean, get activated, get your high beams on, tires just pumped up. So you can scoot down the path of the Spirit and follow what God's wanting to do through you. Businesses built like this will last. Marriages built on these subtle promptings will thrive. Our parenting will take on a supernatural tone. The city will benefit from us sprinkled out there doing obedience to the Holy Spirit. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit and don't give the devil an opportunity. That's why it's good to be quick to repent, keep our hearts right, keep humbling ourselves, forgive, apologize, admit when you're wrong, and keep also standing on the promises that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't have to look anywhere else but to His Holy Spirit, and He will only guide us into the truth. God is not calling us to, He's not advocating mysticism. It's not Swami Guru stuff. It's accessible to all of us. It's not weird. God, I pray a supernatural sensitizing in this place. I pray the worn out folks that have been through battle after battle get refreshed. I pray the new Christians begin to sense the voice of the Holy Spirit. They learn how to discern. They learn how to differentiate between spirit, soul, body. They don't follow a bunch of impulses and promptings of other voices. They're led by the Spirit. Master's voice, we're following your promptings. Thank you, Jesus. Say this with me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. I'm led by the Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I'm a spiritual person. Not mystical or flaky. I follow the leadership of God. I know the Master's voice. The voice of a stranger I will not follow. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I pray you deepen this sensitivity. I pray there be some amazing testimonies that come out of that this week. I pray we be strengthened with might and power by your Spirit in the inner man. Help us not to be so carnal, Lord. Help us not to yield to our ridiculous flesh. Help us not to fall into old, well-worn ruts, but help us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We trust you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.